Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we explain why public support for impeachment is falling off a cliff. We talk about why Democrats can't walk and chew gum at the same time. President Trump is winning the battle for swing voters. And finally, Hong Kong delivers sweeping electoral wins for democracy and freedom. We got a great show in store for you. Before we get started, a lot of you are not yet subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show. So pick up your phone, go to your podcast provider, type in Charlie Kirk Show, make sure you're subscribed. Get one friend to do the same. Help us surge in the charts this Thanksgiving weekend. We are fighting for freedom on the front lines every single day. We got a great show in store for you. Buckle up. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show, your home of conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hi, everybody. I hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving week. There is so much to be thankful for. We like to say quite often on the Charlie Kirk Show, you should be thankful, not bitter, that you live in the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. But while I hope you're enjoying yourself and seeing some family or maybe wrapping up some work, we are here at the Charlie Kirk Show on the front lines of America's culture war, the front lines of the political battle for the soul of America. And we're here to interpret some of the news that I'm sure a lot of you are going to be hearing around your Thanksgiving table. We're going to give you the truth straight up, and we are going to dive into the stories in ways that the media refuses to do. So the first thing we want to start with is how the public support for impeachment falls off a cliff, and it's just boring. I mean, I've had so many people text me that are non-political friends and family, and they say, Charlie, am I missing something, or is this just over-the-top boring? I said, no, it's very boring and equally confusing. And it's the Democrats had these long, almost soap opera-style charades where they had, you know, the deep state murder on the Orient Express crew, where they paraded them in front of cable television. They had Vindman, they had Marie Yovanovitch, they had all these people that never actually were witnesses to what happened, but they were playing the game of telephone and they overheard things. And how you're going to impeach a president behind that is astounding to me. So here's one of your talking points that you can use around the Thanksgiving table with your family and your friends. This was a premeditated impeachment against the president of the United States. Fact, this impeachment idea began 18 minutes after President Donald Trump was inaugurated in the Washington Post, where they said, quote, the case for impeaching Donald Trump now begins. Molly Hemingway in The Federalist, who does such a great job, by the way, she said this, how Republicans won phase one of impeachment. She said the following, and I quote, the first phase of impeachment did not go well for Democrats. It needed to be a time when support for the inquiry and impeachment grew. Instead, it shrank, end quote. There's some really interesting polling to reflect this, and it's from Emerson Polling. It says support for impeachment flipped from 48% in support with 44% opposing in October. Impeachment support was ahead by 4%. Now, 45% opposed and 43% in support. Opposition for impeachment now ahead by 2%, a net 6% shift. But again, we have to break down these polls beyond the top headline and national numbers. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to add some context that I think is really needed here, especially with this new Marquette University Law School poll. And hang tight before I get into it, because after my back injury, I know how hard it is to stay in shape. It's more than just losing weight. It's a whole holistic lifestyle. It's not just about working out. It's not just about waking early and going for that morning run. It's about making sure you have the physical, psychological, and social discipline and a complete and total lifestyle buy-in to make sure that you guys are in shape and you have the right healthy lifestyle. That's why we're partnering with a great company called Noom, N-O-O-M. It's Noom.com, N-O-O-M. This is a habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. It's based in psychology. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do and arms you with the tools to break the bad habits and replace them with better ones. They say it's based on a cognitive behavioral approach. I say it just works. Noom is not a diet. It's a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. No food is considered good or bad. Noom teaches moderation and can help you be used in conjunction with many pre-existing popular diets if you want. We're all strapped for time, but Noom just asks you to commit to 10 minutes a day for yourself. You're human. If you go off track, there's no shaming. So here's what you do. You go to Noom.com/Charlie. That's Noom.com/Charlie. You'll chat with your goal specialist and Noom community to get and give help to people that are going through the exact same thing. You're human. If you go off track, there's no shaming. Just tips to help you get back on track. That's Noom.com/Charlie. Noom.com/Charlie. So this Marquette University Law School poll found something so remarkable. It found the following, that only 40% of registered voters in the swing state of Wisconsin think that Trump should be impeached and removed from office. 53% do not think so. So here's the amazing insight here. Impeachment has become a wedge issue in favor of President Donald Trump, especially in the critical state of Wisconsin. And Wisconsin actually might be the bellwether state. If you come from the presumption that President Donald Trump will struggle to win Michigan and Pennsylvania, might not struggle is the right word, but they're going to be very competitive. But he will probably win Ohio, Iowa, North Carolina, or Florida. In fact, he has to win those states and Arizona. Well, the way the electoral map works, in order to get to 270 electoral votes, Wisconsin would bring him over the top. You might remember back in 2016, President Donald Trump won Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and a singular electoral vote in Maine, which brought him way higher than people thought. He actually broke the 300 electoral vote threshold, something that people thought was nearly impossible. But now in the key state of Wisconsin, impeachment is now a wedge issue against the Democrats. 53% of voters in Wisconsin do not think he should be impeached and removed from office. So amazingly, that his impeachment numbers are actually higher than some of his poll approval numbers, which means that people might say, I don't like the guy, but why don't you just beat him next November? In an ironic twist of events, impeachment might actually be contributing to President Trump becoming more popular in these key states. In fact, as President Trump does more rallies and he goes out and does and communicates to the American people, he's going to win more voters over by talking about the outrage and the injustice and the double standard of this ridiculous and asinine impeachment process. So basically, Molly Hemingway talked a little bit about this, about how the impeachment flipped, but the Marquette University Law School poll showed that it's underwater by 13 points. That's amazing. And by the way, independents are the key. According to Emerson, currently 49% of independents oppose impeachment, while only 34% support it. So among independents, impeachment is underwater by 15 points. So this goes back to one of our big points that I'm making on the Charlie Kirk Show, and one of the big kind of theses is that impeachment is now an electoral winner for President Trump, not loser. Impeachment would usually be used as a way to try to sink the approval rating of the opposing party. People are so against impeachment, this will actually contribute to his rising approval ratings. This might be really tough news for the coastal elites, so the people that are in the Malibu or Manhattan demographic. I always like to say that the Democrats are becoming the party of wine sippers and the Republican Party has become the party of beer drinkers. There's a lot more beer drinkers than wine sippers in this country, let me tell you what. But guess what? The impeachment sham is failing. And there's some pretty solid analysis from the great Tucker Carlson over at Fox News, specifically regarding independent voters. He says the following, quote, independent voters were asked to rank 11 issues in order of their importance. First on the list was fiscal health. 74% of independent voters said that the budget deficit was their main concern. 72% said that healthcare was their main concern. 70% said infrastructure, pretty conventional. Impeachment, that came in dead last, 11 out of 11. Only 37% of independents thought it was a priority at all, by a margin of 3-1, and that is hilarious. Independents said that impeachment was more important to politicians than to the media than it was to them. And Tucker Carlson continues, which I think is one of the most important points, and he says the following. This is what happens when you let Jeff Zucker, who's the head of CNN, run your political party. You start to imagine that CNN's primetime lineup somehow speaks for America, rather than for a tiny, out-of-touch little part of it, end quote. So look, Tucker hits it perfectly here, which is there are simultaneous confirmation bias platforms happening in our country. And I think it's so important. And kind of on our team, we always like to say Twitter is not real life. And you have to remember, cable news is not even real life. I mean, even Fox News, which is an amazing platform that I'm honored to be able to go on, and I'm, you know, very appreciative and thankful for that platform, they will at the top reach 5 or 6 million people on a really, you know, heavily watched night. That's not even a majority of the country. We're a country of 340 million people. We're a country where 100 million people will vote in the 2020 election. More than 100 million people will vote. And CNN, they might get a couple hundred thousand viewers on a good time, and maybe a million viewers if they're really lucky. But look, the bottom line is that people stopped watching these impeachment hearings. They stopped caring. Only about 10 million people were paying attention to the impeachment hearings. And paying attention is like a really loose term. What does paying attention even mean? That you had it on in the background while you're doing your job? Paying attention, people are not locked into this like they were in the Kavanaugh hearings. So here's the big question that I have. I have a very, very big question about the difference between the left and the right. And it's a point that no one has answered. And I sent a tweet about it this last weekend. But I'll say two questions and I'll do the other one in just one second. But the first question is, what was more watched, the Kavanaugh hearings or the impeachment hearings? The Kavanaugh hearings were way more watched. Why? Well, first of all, filling a Supreme Court vacancy has much actual longer term implications than, believe it or not, even the impeachment of a president of the United States. Because if you impeach the president, I mean, the system basically stays in place. The vice president who ran as a ticket with him will take, you know, the presidency. There's an assumption around that. And there's just not much movement. But a Supreme Court nominee, that's culture. That is huge trajectory changing policy and personnel, not to mention all the nonsense of accusations around Justice Brett Kavanaugh and all around that. And I have another question around the impeachment hearings and the main difference between the left and the right. And this is the argument that all of you guys need to use against your liberal aunts or liberal uncles or liberal brothers or leftist parents. It's the single question that can show you conservatives have the moral high ground in America. But first, I'm sure your feet are hurting because most shoes out there are horrible. Mr. Producer and myself, we love the shoes at Wolf and Shepherd. Wolf and Shepherd makes the world's most comfortable dress shoes for people who are out there to get stuff done. Look, a lot of people say that, oh, these shoes are so great. No, these are actually great. I've tried them, and I'm telling you, a lot of shoes do not fit me well. These are perfect. Well, and I learned Wolf and Shepherd was founded by a former track athlete and Adidas designer who realized none of the amazing innovations being applied to athletic shoes were making their way to dress shoes. By combining soft Italian leather, innovative support and cushioning, as well as a bunch of other upgrades, they've created dress shoes you can literally wear all day, discomfort-free. Now, I've known about these guys for a while. We tried on their products before we decided to partner with them. And I was so excited to hear that they are going to work and partner with us on the Charlie Kirk Show. They are ridiculously comfortable. So here's what you got to do. Go to wolfandshepherd.com/Charlie and use that promo code Charlie. Again, that's wolfandshepherd.com. That's wolfandshepherd.com/Charlie. And yeah, I know you had to spell. I know you guys know how to spell it, but I just got to make sure. That's wolfandshepherd.com/Charlie. There's a huge deal that if you guys order before December 3rd, they are offering $101 off any purchase over $300 when you use that promo code Charlie. Are your feet hurting because your shoes are not so good? Are you guys required to wear dress shoes all day long? Well, do something about it. Get the best shoes out there. wolfandshepherd.com/Charlie. Huge discount, practically free money. Again, that's wolfandshepherd.com/Charlie. So what is the question? Here's the singular question that you need to ask. Why is it that during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, he was interrupted over 200 times with 200 people arrested? And during the fake impeachment hearings against Donald Trump, there was not one conservative that interrupted or protested during any of the testimonies. Why is that? And you're trying to tell me that Donald Trump is the one that is dividing America. You're trying to tell me that Democrats are the ones that are trying to heal us. You're trying to tell me that conservatives are the ones that are tearing America apart from the seams. You're the one. I mean, the media is trying to tell us that Donald Trump is an unprecedented threat to our republic. Donald Trump is the one that is tearing apart this country. I can't even have my children watch him. And by the way, I'm so sick and tired of hearing this argument. I heard someone in the grocery store the other day. I overheard them. And they said, I just can't have the news on. I can't have my kids, my teenage kids, listen to this president. And I laugh. I say, all the left has done my entire life is rob children of innocence. That's all the left has done. And all of a sudden, they're worried that a president tweets a little bit too much or might use some swear words here and there. From doing sex education for nine-year-olds or having drag queen child storytelling hour, or whatever they call it, child drag queen storytelling hour. All the left does is rob people of their innocence. That's all they do. And now they're letting kids, they say that kids have to choose their own gender. Kids live in a perpetual state of confusion. They don't wake up on time. They abdicate responsibility, and that's okay. You get older and you have more responsibility, you get more mature. And yet, the singular thing that gets people most upset in Malibu and Manhattan and West LA and in Greenwich, Connecticut, the thing that gets the suburban soccer mom so fired up is his tone. Well, I can't let my kids listen to this president. Meanwhile, they send their kids to public schools where their teachers are glorifying and hypersexualizing our culture, where kids as young as 8 and 9 years old are watching graphic pornography, where the language on network television is as horrible as I've ever seen it, and kids are playing unbelievably graphic, violent video games at very, very young age. And I'm not inherently against video games. I'm not making that argument. I'm just saying all the left has done in our culture is rob children of innocence. And now I have to hear the argument from these left, now these newly found liberal suburban soccer moms who are basically the ones that are pushing forth this argument. They're basically the people that are the most, let's just say, vocal around the fact that Donald Trump's tone is so unacceptable. Yet they are silent when Palatine High School, which is right down the street from where I went to high school, I went to Wheeling High School in District 214, and right down the street in Palatine High School in 211, they have now decided in that school district that a man who thinks he is a woman can now go into the woman's locker room. In fact, I want to play sound of this young lady in a Daily Herald interview. Daily Herald is the local paper for the Chicago suburbs. I used to read it almost every morning in high school for mostly the coverage of the Chicago suburbs high school sports coverage, just because it was kind of fun to read about yourself in the paper the next day. But the Daily Herald did this unbelievable video. I saw it on Twitter where they say this, they see this man who thinks he's a woman. And of course, we should have love and empathy and respect for this individual and their dignity. However, that does not mean you have to uproot your societal norms and rob women of their privacy and their capacity to be able to be with other women in a locker room, so one man who thinks he's a woman could go into that locker room under the auspices of, as the ACLU calls it, civil rights. Let's play that tape.
I'm really hoping they vote for it. It's definitely going to be a step forward in progress. I'm really excited if they vote for it. A bit nervous, though, as always. Just you never know. But it's definitely a first step forward in many more steps. It's a great policy. Unfortunately, it's not everything we want, such as talking about even the small things like changing the name on your student ID, which you're required to wear at all times. So I'm really hoping that the district makes the right decision here and votes it. Yeah, it passed. It passed.
And how does that make you feel?
Oh, I'm ecstatic.
Next item of business is the 2019 proposal.
I'm sorry.
Uncomfortable that my privacy is being invaded. As I am a swimmer, I do change multiple times naked in front of the other students in the locker room. And I understand that the board has an obligation to all students, but I was hoping that they would go about this in a different way that would also accommodate students such as myself.
And so where are the people that are so worried about the president's tone that are speaking out about the fact that now men who think they are women could go into locker rooms in Palatine High School? So this is the question you must ask your liberal relatives and leftist relatives. Where were the protesters? And why were the protesters treated like heroes by the media? And why conservative groups didn't send any protesters? And we had the decency and respect for even the process that the left does not deserve to let this process play out. It's because conservatives have the moral high ground in today's political times. It's because there is no conservative Antifa. There are not conservative Antifa going around wearing MAGA hats, bashing leftists in the face, where people like myself get death threats and people like Ben Shapiro and so many others, Steven Crowder and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, have to walk around with armed guards. The reason is because there are the violence and the outrage on the left is normalized. And when people interrupt like they did in the Kavanaugh hearings, and for those of you that don't remember, it was one interruption after the other, interruption after interruption after interruption after interruption. It was over 200 of them, not to mention the protesters that were storming the elevators and confronting senators and bullying their way into the Senate office buildings. And yet not once during this entire impeachment hysteria do you see conservatives walking through the halls. And you know what the answer to that question is? And by the way, for those of you that ever ask questions, here's a really good rule. Never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. Just a nice little rule of thumb. Do you know what the answer to that question is? Most conservatives were at work. We were working. We don't have time to go protest and flood the Senate, the Hart Senate office building. I say that somewhat sarcastically and facetiously. But more specifically, we as conservatives hold ourselves to a much higher moral standard, and we police our own far better than the left. And the media are the worst at this. The media are the gatekeepers that validate their extremism, that reinforce the worst aspects of the left-wing movement and normalize it, from Antifa to people doxing individuals. And still to this day, zero people have been arrested for the assault of Andy Ngo in the streets of Portland, a gay journalist who is just doing his job and reporting, and yet zero people have been arrested from it. So to kind of tie this all together, there is only one person who has actually been able to make entertainment out of this impeachment mess. And that person is the President of the United States, President Donald Trump, at his famous turkey pardon. He made light of this entire impeachment sham. I laughed. I thought it was very, very funny. It was very well put together. Play tape.
Thankfully, bread and butter have been specially raised by the Jacksons to remain calm under any condition, which will be very important because they've already received subpoenas to appear in Adam Schiff's basement on Thursday. It's true. Hundreds of people have. It seems the Democrats are accusing me of being too soft on turkey. But bread and butter, I should note that unlike previous witnesses, you and I have actually met. It's very unusual. Very unusual. In any event, I expect this pardon will be a very popular one with the media. After all, turkeys are closely related to vultures. I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it. But today, after the birds will retire to gobbler's rest at Virginia Tech.
There's the president, of course, being himself, and he's just making a joke of Adam Schiff. And my favorite line is, me and the turkey have spent far more time together than some of these witnesses that they parade together on Capitol Hill. It's a total outrage. This impeachment sham is deteriorating in front of our very eyes. Hold your ground this Thanksgiving when people try to say this president should be impeached. Ask them this question. Can you cite the specific U.S. criminal code that President Trump has violated? And if so, why have the Democrats not introduced any sort of conversation around the specific criminal code? Not this innuendo, not this open-worded hyperbole of bribery and, he's shaking people down or quid pro quo. Show me the U.S. criminal code that he broke specifically. You can't point to it because he didn't. President Trump did nothing wrong. The only thing he ever did was make people's lives better, including your liberal aunt, who still hates the President of the United States and is going to try to convince you of it. But you can wink and nod and say, well, at least your life is better, even thanks to a president that you say that you hate. Hey guys, I'm sure a lot of you are going to have that beautiful Thanksgiving meal and then line up around to get some deal for Black Friday. But there's no need to go crazy this year. I'm letting you know ahead of time about an amazing Black Friday Cyber Monday deal on something you're actually going to use, not something that you're going to buy and forget about. It's called wireless earbuds or headphones from Raycon. I'm sure that some of you guys have these ridiculous ones with the cords and they get in your way. Well, these ones right here, I know the guys at Raycon. They do an amazing job. They were founded by Ray J. He was sick of premium audio being so expensive. So he and a bunch of audio engineers and music industry folks developed Raycon's line of awesome wireless headphones and earbuds. They sound just as good as other premium brands, but start at about half the price. You don't have to have any dangling stems or wires get in your way. I know that when I work out and when I'm outside, I want my Raycon earbuds. The best deal in premium audio just got even better for Black Friday. And trust me, you do not want to sleep in on this one. So here's what you do. Go to buyraycon.com/Kirk, K-I-R-K. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk to check out Raycon's Black Friday and Cyber Monday savings. I can't even tell you how good these deals will be. You'll have to check them out on the site. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk, K-I-R-K, to get an amazing Black Friday deal on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Kirk. So can Democrats walk and chew gum at the same time? It sure seems that is a new talking point from the left that, we can impeach the president. We can also pass laws that matter. Fox News asked me to dictate my piece so that it could be aired on Fox News Radio. I actually wrote a piece all about this, about how Democrats can't walk and chew gum at the same time. It has gotten really good play. It was number one on foxnews.com And it's all around this whole, this euphemism, if you will, that you can walk and chew gum. We can do two things at once. Well, I debunk it in this piece. So as every Democrat candidate says this phrase, I don't ever want to hear this again. It's just so overdone. They assured us that they could advance the country's agenda while in the middle of an impeachment. But as if not putting the country through an impeachment proceeding isn't a big enough deal. Well, they can't do both, and now we have proof. One such policy, one such example, is the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, the USMCA. According to the International Trade Commission, the trilateral trade deal would boost our economy by a whopping $68.2 billion while creating 176,000 new jobs across the country. Now, Pelosi says there might not be time to approve the USMCA before the end of the year, even if she accepted a deal. Given a golden opportunity to prove that they could, quote, walk and chew gum at the same time, Democrats have let this vital legislation languish while they indulge their impeachment obsession. And still, Democrats are doubling down. Breaking today, House Judiciary Committee schedules their first impeachment hearing for December 4th. Witnesses will be legal experts. Oh my gosh, this is going to be a mess. We also saw what looked like was going to be a Democrat defection, only to see Rep. Brenda Lawrence, Democrat from Michigan, flip back and resume her support for impeaching Trump. This all kind of ties together with what I said earlier, that President Trump is becoming more popular during this impeachment nonsense. And guess what? The New York Times, that's right, the New York Times has come in to reinforce this point. So according to the New York Times, they had this piece that said, they voted Democrat, now they support Trump. And I highlighted one part that's really important. It said, two-thirds of battleground state voters who chose Trump in 2016 but selected Democrats in midterms say they will return to the president next year. This is massive. So I want you to read into this poll. That does not, these people that supported President Trump in 16, that they've polled and also voted for Democrats in 18, mean they're coming back. That means that when President Trump did really, really well in states like Missouri and Indiana, and Republicans did really well in Ohio, that shows that President Trump's Rust Belt base is as strong as ever. And look, Democrats should be freaking out about this and understand that Warren, Sanders, Harris, and even radical Mayor Pete Buttigieg are no moderates. Biden has even been pulled far to the left where he used to be, but his durability in that top spot, I mean, it's been somewhat impressive given how weak of a frontrunner he is, but he can't be a frontrunner in states like Iowa and New Hampshire. He's third or fourth at best. He's already lowering expectations there. This is a great quote from a voter that I think fully represents the typical Midwest swing voter, the worker who has the shower after work. I say that a lot. I think the Republican Party has to be the party of people that shower after work. Michael Townsend, 38, a high school educated construction worker in Dunmore, Pennsylvania, was a lifelong Democrat until he voted for Donald Trump. This is what he said. Here's what Michael said, quote, in the last couple of years, the Democrats had kind of been losing the work, and I thought Trump might get us that work, he said. And to be honest, I've been in construction 21 years, and the last 2 years were the best years I've ever had, end quote. He voted for Democrat in the midterms because he liked the ideas on less polarizing local issues like veteran affairs and opioids. While he said that the Republicans are too focused on Washington politics. He had been intrigued by Bernie Sanders, but he'll probably be back to Mr. Trump again, he said. Everybody, that right there is the New York Times making a microcosm argument for the millions of middle-class Americans that are not part of the wine-sipping group in Malibu and Manhattan, but they're part of the folks that shower after work, the people that are much more likely to have a beer and not wine, and they are the backbone of our country, the people in Missouri, Montana, Michigan, the states that President Trump won so convincingly. And guess what? This metropolitan coastal agenda is not going to work in the battleground states that matter. But I've always been a contrarian. Do not get too confident. Do not get too confident. President Trump, despite doing very well in this all kind of setting up nicely for his reelection, I believe that the Democrats are going to have plenty of secret weapons to come out. The New York Times, Washington Post, Beltway Alliance, they are going to get very desperate. They're going to do everything they can to go after Trump supporters. They're going to do everything they can to go after the president. Not to mention, do not underestimate voter fraud. Do not underestimate what the left will do. And as I have said, there are more socialists out there than I think we give credit for. There are more people on the radical far left than we give credit for. And if they nominate a true leftist, we're going to have to fight like hell to make sure that they do not win. One other story I just wanted to talk about, something that we have been focusing on a little bit here and there on the Charlie Kirk Show, is Hong Kong. Something truly historic is happening in Hong Kong. After this weekend, we have quantifiable proof that these freedom fighters are making a difference. Hong Kong delivered sweeping electoral wins for democracy and freedom. Take that, Chinese Communist Party, America's greatest enemy. Hong Kong's protests started in June against plans to allow extradition to mainland China. Critics feared that this could undermine judicial independence and endanger dissidents. Until 1997, Hong Kong was ruled by Britain as a colony, but then returned to China. We've done a whole show on Hong Kong on the Charlie Kirk Show. Go back through your archives. Make sure you press download on every episode. But go back. We had a great episode on Hong Kong. We went into the whole history of it. We won't do that right now. The bill was withdrawn in September, but demonstrations have continued and now demand full democracy and an inquiry into police actions. Clashes between police and activists have become increasingly violent, with police firing live bullets and protesters attacking officers and throwing petrol bombs. So where do we stand today? Recent district elections in Hong Kong saw the freedom-fighting pro-democratic protesters securing a decisive landslide victory. According to local media count, 17 out of 18 councils are now controlled by pro-democracy councilors. That's what they call them. Pro-democracy candidates have secured a clear majority with more than 300 out of 452 seats compared to 41 seats for the pro-establishment camp, according to local media estimates. 4 years ago, at the previous such polls, pro-democracy candidates only secured around 100 seats. This is a disaster for Beijing. But here's what's interesting. These Hong Kong protesters are flooding the streets, waving American flags and burning communist flags. Meanwhile, when I go visit campuses for Turning Point USA, left-wing Democrat protesters are in the street waving communist flags and burning American ones. Hong Kong protesters represent a desire for freedom and democracy. We have to stand with the people of Hong Kong. We have to stand with the people that want freedom, that want liberty, that want the protection of the individual, and they want to preserve constitutional values. Hong Kongers are being attacked in the street by police, yet left-wing Antifa rioters are attacking police here in America. I could go on and on and on. Hong Kongers are yearning for the protections of the Second Amendment. Left-wing Democrat rioters are trying to abolish the Second Amendment. Bottom line, I would trade these Hong Kong freedom fighters for the entitled, violent Antifa thugs that we see in our streets any day of the week. And in closing, Elizabeth Warren's national poll numbers take a nosedive. It's kind of funny. Once people learn that you're actually a Marxist, they might not want to support you. This from Bloomberg News, not from Mike Bloomberg, the presidential candidate. Quote, the former vice president has retaken the top spot in the Quinnipiac University national poll with 24% support among Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents, up from 21% in an October 24th Quinnipiac poll when Warren led with 28%. In the November survey, Warren was down 14 points to 14%, statistically tied with Bernie Sanders and beat Pete Buttigieg. Wow, that is a massive drop. This is what happens when you lie about seven different things in your background and refuse to say how you will pay for stuff. Warren reminds me of that team that's the total underdog. Remember, most people counted her out after the DNA debacle. But then somehow they get ahead and then they show up at halftime and then they lose because they play prevent defense the entire rest of the game. She has been her own worst enemy. Polling also shows her losing to President Donald Trump in key battleground states such as Florida. Democrats this election cycle are repeatedly telling pollsters and pundits that they don't so much need to fall in love with the candidate like they did in 2008 with Barack Obama. They just want one that isn't Donald Trump. They will take electability almost above anything else if you show weakness and that you're in trouble. Look, we know the left and therefore we're able to predict them. This Democrat primary is going to get really bloody, metaphorically, really soon. I mean, this is going to be a civil war, the likes of which we've never seen. There's no clear front runner. Their front runner, Joe Biden, is not even in the top two or three in Iowa and New Hampshire. Pete Buttigieg, which is the most unimpressive political figure that I have seen in quite some time. The guy's a small town mayor and couldn't even get elected as the head of the Democrat National Committee. People say, oh, isn't he so charismatic? I don't see it, but I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a left winger and I actually want America to succeed. So if you're those things, maybe you find inspiration in Pete Buttigieg talk about how horrible the country America is. But as things progress, watch out for Mike Bloomberg, who could throw a real boomerang into this race. $30 million in some of the bigger states that are very expensive media markets. And the fact that he's dismissing the first four states, I actually think we'll see if it ends up working. He's going to try to run against the media. I just want the Democrats to start to get aggressive. I want the Democrats to start to go after each other. They just played nice. It was one big bear hug this last Democrat debate, the MSNBC. Well, please tell us, Senator Elizabeth Warren, how great of a person do you think you are to be president? I mean, the questions were absolutely ridiculous. One final thing. More Make America Great Again news. We're great again. The Dow and S&P and NASDAQ all closed at all-time highs on Tuesday. Highest ever. All-time highs. Let's play a clip from the great Charles Payne that summarizes that.
Another triple play for stocks. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 closing at all-time highs today. And for the Dow, it's the 100th record close since President Trump took office in January of 2017. And you can bet President Trump will be playing it up during the 2020 campaign.
All-time high, everybody. Make America great again. has been achieved. If you guys have 401ks, if you guys are invested in the stock market at all, you are seeing your stocks go to record highs. And guess what? They could go even higher if President Trump secures a trade deal with the Chinese, which should be very, very soon. So please make sure you are subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, press subscribe, leave us that 5-star rating. A lot of you guys are not subscribed, so make sure you are and leave a review and get a friend to do the same. Pass around our link. It helps more than you could possibly imagine to get people to subscribe to our show. It helps us surge in the charts. And if you want to get engaged and involved with the largest conservative student organization of the country, Turning Point USA, start a chapter, attend one of our events. You guys will have a lot of fun. It's an amazing effort to be involved in. You go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And come to our big event in Palm Beach. We got Ben Shapiro, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Dan Crenshaw, Candace Owens, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and so many others. tpusa.com/SAS. And for the adults listening, pitch in a little bit of money. Go to tpusa.com, make a year-end gift to Turning Point USA to help us continue our fight for freedom on colleges across the country. I'm so excited to be welcoming Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson to the Podcast One family. Listen as Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet, pours his soul into conversations with fascinating minds, celebrities, and athletes, along with cosmic millennial sidekick and former NFLer Eben Britton, and Kid Dynamite dives deep into the issues impacting us all today. This podcast will change the way you see the world. Don't miss Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.